1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And one thing that's not doing any business these days in the United States is the comedy business. Everybody that's involved in doing jokes, they're out of business. Out of business, at least for the foreseeable future. I don't want to say the next few days. I don't know how long it's going to be before we get back to doing the kind of show that we do here. And what we do on the Phil Hendry Show ordinarily is shtick, and we do a comedy show, essentially. But like I said, the comedy business is out of business, at least for the time being. And that's the way it should be, because we had things happen yesterday. People have called them unprecedented. They've called them horrific. You can use your own description. They are events that necessitate that we kind of stop down and get into a, more of a news talk mode. And that's what we're doing today. That's what we're offering everybody across the country on our show. And it was funny. Not funny, haha, but it was sort of, it was interesting to hear when I was speaking with some of my colleagues this morning, some of my superiors here at the network saying, well, we've assured the affiliates that you're not going to do any jokes, Phil. And I guess that's it's an understandable concern on the part of people who only know me as a schtickmeister, but I've got a 30-year career in broadcasting, and it wasn't always doing this kind of work. I always, for the most part, did kind of a straight disc jockey shift. I was a news director. I did involve myself in news commentary one time. So there's a lot of different things that I know how to do. And we're going to do those this afternoon as they pertain to the coverage of events surrounding what happened in New York and what happened in Washington, D.C. One of the things that I wanted to mention was what I just heard on CNN, and it's really a compelling story. I don't know if you guys have been close to the story around Flight 93. That was the jet that took off on its way from Newark to San Francisco, I believe, and made an abrupt turn and was heading back across Pennsylvania, allegedly to strike one of three targets: the White House, Camp David, or the Capitol building. And there was a passenger on board, and I think the name was Glick, given by the news sources that we heard, who was on a cell phone in communication with family members. And during his conversation, and I believe the hijackers on all four aircraft allowed the passengers to contact family to tell them that they loved them, to tell them goodbye as some kind of a warped humanitarian move on their part. In any event, this guy is on his cell phone speaking to family members and asks them, is it true what we've heard? That one or more planes had struck the World Trade Center in New York, and the members of the family they were speaking with said, yes, it was. At which point, he put the phone down, left the phone for a few minutes, came back to the phone, picked it up, and told members of his family or friends that he was speaking with, we have elected those members of the passengers that are men have elected to try to take these hijackers. The phone got put down again. I don't know if the connection went dead at that point, but it couldn't have been more than a few minutes later, the plane goes down in Pennsylvania. And one of the commentators on CNN made this comment: if you're looking for heroes, there's a group of them right there. Now, whether or not those men decided to act and decided to rush those hijackers to save themselves, or whether they decided to act because they realized that this was a plane about to do some very serious damage to a national monument, and having heard what had already happened at the World Trade Center at the Pentagon, decided to act in out of interest for something other than themselves, I don't know. But the point is, they saved lives. In so doing, they lost their own lives, but they saved perhaps hundreds of lives by deciding at that moment that they would stop these hijackers one way or another. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there was a fight. I don't know if the pilot was disabled himself if the hijackers got to the controls and decided to send it into some sort of a twisted suicide bomb dive, or whether the passengers decided to do that. But one thing is for sure, what these passengers decided to do resulted in saving more lives in Washington and saving perhaps tens, perhaps hundreds of lives in Washington from meeting the same fate that some 800 people met at the Pentagon. Because, like I said, the word is, and I don't think the FBI, and I could be wrong, has released how they know this. I think the White House has released how they know this. But the word is, there were three other possible targets. And in one instance, the plane that eventually did hit the Pentagon, I believe, was targeting the White House, and for some reason or another, swerved off at the last possible minute or at the last few minutes and hit the Pentagon. So that's a story that's people are talking about. This reminds them of a movie. There's a movie script. That's a incredible story. It's a moment of desperation. I was talking with Mike and Craig about it, and you got to be honest with yourself. I don't care who you are. You got to be honest with yourself. You got to ask yourself, and I'm sure you, as I tell you this story, you're asking yourself, would I have done the same thing? Would you have done the same thing? Not that you wouldn't want to. Would you have had the courage? I mean, it's a good question, and there's no right answer. Would you have had the courage to have done what those people did? But in so doing, in bringing that jet down, or in somehow interrupting those hijackers from whatever it was they were thinking they were going to do, they saved additional lives on the ground in at least Washington, D.C. This is the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And I have no idea what kinds of phone calls we're going to get this afternoon. We're not limiting it to any specific topic or any specific take. We're opening the phone lines up, and we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-449-8686. Let me slip over here, Mike, to my screening program, because I've been reading about this guy, Bin Laden. In fact, you may not know this, but Osama Bin Laden is wanted by the FBI. He is on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. He has been on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, I think, since 1998, in connection with the bombings of the United States embassies in Tanzania and Kenya. And that there is a $5 million reward for information leading to the apprehension of this man. I saw that oh, here it is. The United States government's offering a reward of up to $5 million for information leading directly to the apprehension or conviction of this man. So that makes it perhaps a little bit more interesting as well. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. And here is DJ. DJ, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I've been listening to this conversation, and I've been looking at, some information, and Bin Laden has been messing with the United States since 1983 in Beirut. And, over the past 8 years, I did a total, and he's killed over 572 Americans and injured 5,280 people. And he's made comments in the last 5 years that, he doesn't like the United States and he's going to keep this up. And, whether he did this or not, the president made a comment yesterday that any terrorists would be dealt with. And right now, because of what you just said with the FBI and them having,
he's on a 10 most wanted list. Yeah, $5 million bounty.
Right. That, they ought to start with him.
Not a bad place to start.
They ought to start with him because right.
The war has been declared on terrorism. So I would say that means all the terrorists, whether they did this particular job at the Trade Center or whether they did the bombing in 93 there or the Beirut barracks bombing in 83. The war allegedly is to be declared on terrorism. That means all of them, everything they've done, no matter where they are, and the governments that harbor them.
Phil, that's...
So what do you think we ought to do?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question that people have been discussing over the last couple of days.
I mean, take out Afghanistan? Like, in other words, they took out the World Trade Center, so we'll blow up his cave. I don't think that that's, you know, Afghanistan right now is a country that is in civil war. It's a primitive, neo-Stone Age country. I don't know how much more you damage the infrastructure of a country like that.
Well, but the thing of it is, Phil, is, you know, I heard comments earlier on the radio that, you know, we can't go in and do this because there are civilians there and these kind of things. But, you know, in war, this kind of thing happens, and there hasn't been today a bomb or a missile or a bullet that can tell the difference between a civilian and not.
Right. Well, that's the old collateral damage thing. Thank you very much, DJ, for your call. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The whole idea that you want to go in and do these strikes and try to avoid deaths to civilians is, I think, important. I think it's noble, and I think it's, if it can be done, that's a terrific thing. And we probably did as close to that as we could during the Gulf War, for instance. We came up with the term surgical strike, and we saw the smart bombs, and we targeted communication centers and infrastructure centers, and we targeted military sites. We tried as much as we could to keep it away from the civilian populace. War, though, is the absence of civilization. War is the breakdown of the ability for civilized people to act in a civilized way. So the guy's right. I would agree with that caller that civilians must die. I don't particularly want them to, but I don't know that you can write a rule book. I think it's always been one of the sillier aspects of the conduct of war, in that we have these things called Geneva Conventions, and not that a civilized people wouldn't want to behave in a humane way to prisoners of war, for instance. But how do you write a rule book for war, and how do you keep civilians from being killed? And the definition of war is that it's the breakdown of civilization, and the first people to get killed and demoralized are civilians. And that's exactly what happened to us, whether you want to believe it or not. That's exactly what has happened, and that's precisely what these individuals aimed for and achieved. They wanted to demoralize and frighten. And there isn't anything more visible than flying a jet right into the World Trade Center with a couple of hours before high noon in one of the largest cities in the world. That's a symbolic act. That isn't an infrastructure thing. That's not an attack at a communications. That's not an attack at a vital military installation. That is a symbolic act which has one purpose and one purpose only: to bum you out in a very big way. And they did it. And with all due respect to our president, I know we're making a comeback. I know we're bouncing back. And I applaud all of us. I stand back and I applaud you all, because I know you guys, we're all going to be very resilient. But for the last 24 hours, you can't deny they got exactly what they were looking for with that attack. They put everybody on their heels. And let me say this before we take our first break, because I guess it sort of segues. I will never be the same. And by that, I don't mean I'm never going to be a happy-go-lucky, fun-loving guy. What I mean by that is I'm never, ever going to look at this country the same again as long as I live. I'm going to value every minute. I'm going to value every second. And I, frankly, right now, don't care much whether I see football on Sunday, although I would like to see a couple of games. But I will never kick back and watch a football game the same way again. I'm going to know exactly what it took. I'm going to know exactly who paid the price. I'm going to know exactly what the cost was. I'm going to know exactly how many buckets of blood were spent so that I could sit there on my rear end and watch a ball game on Sunday. I'm never going to be the same in terms of how I view my life, how I view my life within this country. And probably how I'm going to live my life from this point forward. And that's not bad. That's good. I feel good about that. And with all due respect, let me just suggest that maybe you guys ought to be thinking along the same lines yourselves. Don't want to tell you how to live. Just a thought. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got to keep telling you, I don't do this kind of show. The Phil Henry Show, if you just joined us, is a show that features a variety of characters that I play on my show, and including myself. I play me. And we interact with the audience and each other and create these wildly crazy satirical points of view and scenarios. And in so doing, I have people believing that the characters that I create are real people, and you just have to hear it to believe it. It's quite a workout every day. I like doing that kind of show. I guess it's the best way I know how to express myself. Doing this kind of radio, on the other hand, where you just sit and you sort of ruminate and you discuss and you go back and forth and trade ideas about various issues is relatively easy. I'm not saying that the people who do it don't work as hard as I do when I'm doing my show, but for me, it's easy. I could do 12 hours of this. As a matter of fact, today we're going to do about 6 hours, 3 hours for our national network, and we're going to do another 3 hours locally in Los Angeles because it's needed, and they need the help over at our flagship station, and then I'm happy to do it. And like I said, it's not all that difficult for us to do. But just in case you're just joining us and you're expecting one kind of show, we can't do that kind of show. I said at the top of the hour, comedy's out of business for the foreseeable future in America. And I mean, we'll get back around to it, but we're gonna have to kind of ease our way back into it, because man, there ain't nothing. I've been there. Nothing like having the audience not forgive you for making an ill-timed joke, at the worst possible minute. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Here's Rod. Rod, hi, you're on The Phil Henry Show.
How you doing, Phil?
Good.
Phil, I'd like to think that in these first 72 hours, or within these first 72 hours, that we would at least very quickly and very decisively, okay, and that 72 hours by 9 o'clock Friday morning, we will at least attack the well-known terrorist train bases in all these Middle Eastern countries that we know. We actually know where they train. They have bases out there, okay? They have multiple bases. So I would like to think that at least we're going to make that move very quickly. And where it concerns this Bin Laden, whatever this guy's name is,
Bin Laden?
I don't think, whoever this jerk-off is.
Usama jerk-off. And he has a website. No, go ahead.
Okay.
Uh-oh, we just made a joke. Well, there it is. Go ahead.
Well, anyways, it's just not one individual. It's just a group of them. It's a well-organized group of them, and they got a lot of money behind all these attacks. And we should just at least start with these terrorist bases, and then let not that be the final attack from our side, and we should just continue. And any time we hear or any time we get any intelligence of any minute training base or any indication of anything, just hit them wherever they are. If it's in the middle of a freaking city,
well,
the
Israelis have been doing that. The Israelis have been rocketing Palestinian terrorist bases in Lebanon for a long time.
And that's the way to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I wouldn't exactly say that living in Israel is the most secure of situations. But if you can find this guy, if you can get, if you can get the head of the snake, so to speak, and that sort of disorganizes the underlings a little bit, then you've disrupted them significantly. The other thing is, I know what you mean about the first 72 hours. I've heard it said that Americans don't have, we don't really have great staying power when it comes to our will to fight. We kind of go on to the next TV event. But one thing about not acting right away is if you have the information, you know where they are, and you can track them, maybe you catch them a little bit with their guard down, because right now these guys have got to be on some kind of whatever the Bin Laden version of a high alert is. I'm sure he's on it right now. And if there's a moment when you can catch them when they're relaxed, you might even be able to extradite this guy. You might even be able to grab this guy, throw him on a military transport in the middle of the night, and bring him to the United States, which I think would be far better than greasing the guy where they find him, personally.
For,
all right?
Excuse me, Phil, but for what? To spend thousands of dollars in a courtroom?
Yeah. Hey, wait a second. You got something else to do with the money right now? What do you want to do? You want to put up another ballpark someplace? If ever there was a great expenditure of money, it would be to see that clown put on court TV in front of the world, maybe in a bowling shirt or something, I don't know, and held up before the world on trial by America. We'll be right back.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Different kind of Phil Henry show for the foreseeable future as we talk about possible solutions and people vent in terms of their feelings concerning the attack on New York's World Trade Center and the Pentagon by terrorists, a terrorist organization that more and more people are saying was led by or is led by this man, Osama bin Laden. I've got all kinds of information on who this guy is, which we'll get into later on. But I wanted to just sort of clarify what I was saying to that other caller before we took the break. Extraditing him and bringing him and putting him on trial in the United States, there's something really attractive about that for me because it, first of all, we're using the mechanics, we're using the machine of, you know, what we should respect as the ultimate in jurisprudence, the United States judicial system, our system of guaranteeing, respecting the rights of the individual and society and all those wonderful things that we know and love and are proud of. But if you've got this guy in a cage for the rest of his life after you convict him, then he becomes a rallying point for some other screwball who wants to hijack a plane. That isn't cool. So maybe the idea is to terminate him. Now, I got no problem with any of this. And I'm talking to you as a active resistor to the Vietnam War. I was a dove. I'm a liberal Democrat. All the things I don't ordinarily talk about on my show, just to tell you where I'm coming from. But that's got nothing whatsoever to do with doing what's right. And when they, you know, it may be, it's one thing when it's Sudan, Ethiopia, or some other little war that we've run off to fight, but when it's here, there isn't anybody, I don't care who you are, there isn't anybody that doesn't think we ought to go after whoever it was that did this, and either, to use the words of the espionage community, terminate them, or kill them, or cancel them, or however you want to put it. Cancel their season, you know. I don't think there's anybody with any whack them, you know, as our friends in The Sopranos would say. It can't be anybody with any sense at all who thinks that life in the United States is going to get back to the way it used to be. I got a call yesterday from a guy. We were on the air, and he said, the best thing we can do is get back to the way it was. Look, the best thing we can do is to cinch it up, have some guts, go to our jobs, go about making life better. I believe in all those things. I believe we can do all of those things. Don't panic. $5 a gallon. The guy that pulled that, he ought to be out of business today. I hope they prosecute that guy to the full extent of the law. I hope he's out of business. $4 a gallon. People talking about the price of gas going up $6 a barrel. All of it crap. Never happened. And the financial market. There's something. Oh, wait till the financial market opens. It's going to be a crash. It's going to be a horrible thing. Oh, really? Do you remember how stupid you felt January 1st, 2000, when all that stuff didn't happen? Have a little faith. I believe in all of that. But what I am saying is this life we've been living in America has transmuted a little bit, it's changed a little bit, but it's never going to be the way that it was. Okay, and when this kind of stuff happens, yeah, you have to go after them, you have to declare war, it is violent, it is military, it is death, it's all of those things that we are find so odious about war, but it is a necessary evil in this instance. And yeah, even civilians get killed in this war. That's exactly right. And yes, I know what you're going to say. Then there's going to be more propaganda for the other side to use. America is evil. America killed innocent civilians. You know, even those Palestinians that took to the streets the other day, did you hear the latest? on that? There was like a handful of them. I mean, there's nobody, nobody in any position of responsibility that is willing to come out and say this was a good thing. And I'm talking Yasser Arafat, the heads of China and Russia and Britain and France, even Gaddafi. You remember him? Even Gaddafi has disavowed this. The only guy who said it was a good thing was our old pal Saddam Hussein. And he's, you know, he's got a burr under his saddle about us for a long time, with good reason. He's the only one. Every other responsible entity in the world has said this was a horrific thing. So it's not like we're operating alone. It's not like that we've, you know, that we don't have any friends. It's not like that we're out on a limb by ourselves and the whole world is going to turn against us. Everybody in the world will understand when we finally make the move. Everybody. So you don't have to worry about that. And you nervous Nellies and all of these people wringing their hands like grandmothers, man, what little faith you got. And I heard a guy, some guy talking this morning on another one of these shows. I just love listening to talk radio, man. You know, it just the baloney never stops. So one guy was saying, what was it?
I'm really sorry that people died, but we got to get our financial. We got to save our financial. Hey, I hope you lose it all in the stock market. What do you think of that? The financial market's going to be fine. We're going to continue going to our jobs. We've got a, you know, the world's biggest economy. Just chill out. Your money's going to be fine, Ace. Okay? Your Cadillac is safe. Your Lexus is cool. And the private school for your kids, I'm sure, isn't going to get burned to the ground. Just have yourself a chill pill. And let's talk about what's really important. These poor people, over and over again, I see that jet going into that building. I can't even begin to imagine what horror was visited on those people on that plane seconds, minutes before that thing finally slammed into that building. I can't imagine the poor pilots of those planes. They couldn't do anything. I can't imagine the passengers on that Flight 93 who decided to take their lives into their hands and try to take these hijackers out before they did more damage, before they rained more hell on people. And what kind of guts that took. That's what I'm thinking about today. And, you know, I'll make the Lexus payment when I make it. All you guys that got the paper on my Lexus, I don't really have a Lexus, but let's just say that I did. I ain't paying my bill this month. What do you think of that? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Eric. Hi, Eric. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing, Phil?
Fine, thank you.
Well, I've been listening for quite a while and hearing what people have to say. I also would hate to see, you know, innocent, quote, civilians, you know, die or be injured if a war were to break out. But the other way we need to look at this is whoever is harboring, abetting, aiding these fun-loving terrorists, they are putting their own people at risk. They put their own people in danger. We didn't ask for this. We didn't say, come over and kill all our civilians. Don't even, you know, attack military. Come and kill our civilians. They're putting, you know, their civilians at risk. They know well aware of the ramifications this could have.
Well, you know America doesn't exactly have its hands clean in the history of America's dealings internationally, but then no country with any real shred of power does, you know. For some reason, we're the target. And so they can come up with millions of reasons why we're evil. They can come up with millions. Some of them good, some of them just, you know, out of smoke, but they'll come up with all kinds of reasons, and it doesn't matter what logic you use. Hey, you killed 50,000. It's possible they killed 50,000 people in New York. Well, but then you guys did this, 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 this. You know, they're always going to play that. You did this, so we get to do this thing. So we're not even having a conversation with them anymore. You know what I'm saying, Eric? We're beyond talking. This is not a conversation. We're not going to start having a debate. We're going to find the guys that did it, and depending upon the decision of our military and our intelligence community, either terminate them at the source, bring them to justice, however they want to deal with it. But we're not having a conversation about this anymore. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. Thanks. Hey, listen, to understand that this Bin Laden, if he's the guy, you know, he's worth something like $5 billion.
Yes, his family has $5 billion in a construction business.
Okay.
Allegedly.
So let's find out where that is. And in addition to the military action, let's go after him financially so that this can't happen again. I understand the things you're saying. Yes, he's a martyr for the cause and all this stuff. But let's get him in the pocketbook.
You can make him look really silly, like when he's broke. Well, seriously, no, I like your idea, but how do you begin to do that?
Understood. I mean, I don't. But as you said, it would be nice to think that if we know where his money is,
right.
Like you've said, with all the affiliations that we have, even maybe people that weren't always on board with us, let's just say, no, we got to put a stop to this.
Where is his money? What bank is holding his money? Why can't the international community freeze that money? Why can't the United Nations, through the aegis of the World Court,
we do it against the nations, economic sanctions against the nations.
Why can't we sanction an individual? Absolutely.
There you go. Just be curious what you would think of the whole thing about the kids, and I don't mean to get into the warped, humorous thing, but certainly would like to get your take on this whole thing. But how do we talk to the kids about it? You know, how do we say, gee, Timmy, you know, the rest of the world doesn't like us because we have, you know, five cars and the Lexus payment and three PlayStations. And
I got four kids, and last night my third oldest, I guess that would be the second youngest, said, I want to talk. He said to his mother, because I wasn't home, he said, I want to talk about what happened today. And Maria said, okay. He said, I don't get it. What? Why did they do this? Who are they?
Right.
And Maria said, you know what? Basically, this world came about as the result of struggling between what is right and what is wrong. And hopefully we're doing the right thing, and there's some people out there doing the wrong thing, and they don't like us for it. And they don't have a whole lot of power, so they have to do extreme things to get our attention. And that's kind of where you begin it. But we don't lie to the kids. We talk to them about it.
Cool.
After Columbine, one of the kids, we found some stuff, some lyrics that one of the kids had written. And they were lyrics that included references to smashing your face and killing you and letting blood and stabbing you and all this stuff, right? And it didn't freak us out because we realized that what was happening here is the kid was afraid and was sort of approximating the lyrics of some heavy metal song. Because when we finally talked to him about it, he was in tears, and the only thing he could say was, I'm scared.
Right.
I'm scared about what this stuff was that happened today. So,
Phil, I respect what you're doing today, but
at the same
point, I hope you could understand that once we do get settled, and I know that's going to happen, I can't wait to hear what some of the guests will have to
say
about
those. Well, we'll get back into the groove as soon as we can, man. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. That gentleman was referencing the fact that this isn't the kind of radio show the Phil Hendry Show is about, but we're very happy to do this kind of show because it's necessary right now, and I understand that. And we're not about to make the mistake of looking for the opportunity to do shtick. You know, I don't need the job that bad. You know, I don't need the ratings that bad where I'm going to, like, take the first opportunity to make a couple of jokes about it. And that's why I'll say it again. The comedy business in America right now has come to a full and complete halt. There's nothing funny going on. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not joking around and having a couple of laughs behind the scenes with my coworkers or my family. But as far as the mass consumption of entertainment in this country is concerned, the laugh business ain't no business at all right now. So just get off it, okay? Some of the folks that we work with here at Premiere are involved in writing comedy, and I don't know what those guys are doing today. They must be at home or maybe they're writing jokes they can use 6 months from now or something, you know, but it's not happening, and it shouldn't be happening. And when we're back into a place where we can start to kind of look the danger in the face, you know what I'm saying? Look the danger in the face and say, yeah, I know you. I recognize you. I live with you every day. I'm an American. My country's been terrorized. I get it. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm just going to do what I got to do. Then, you remember during the NATO attacks in Yugoslavia? You know what the people were doing on the ground in Sarajevo? They were drawing bullseyes on the top of their heads. This is what I'm talking about. At some point, we have to get to that point. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, could you draw a bullseye on the top? I'm kidding. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
There's a prayer vigil going on in Washington right now at the U.S. Capitol, attended by members of Congress. And the United States, in the person of the FBI, says that it now has the identities of many of the hijackers on each of the four flights that crashed on Tuesday. Some of them lived in Florida. Some of them worked and trained in Florida because they were, although they were trained pilots, allegedly, they were taking some kind of a flight class. And this was in Florida, north of Miami. FBI agents also visited a restaurant in Hollywood, Florida, showing patrons pictures of two men of Middle Eastern origin and asking anyone if they recognized the men, according to police, and a bartender at Shuckham's Restaurant. I'm trying to think of where that was. I used to live in Hollywood. Now, one of our callers called, and I thought it was a pretty good comment. I don't know. Maybe it's naive. While we're looking for this guy, this Bin Laden guy, can't we freeze his family's money? Now, I know that his money is probably under a lot of different names and a lot of different accounts, but the family has $5 billion in a construction business. Can't you begin to get to him that way? While you're still looking for him and physically tracking him, can't you begin to slow him down by freezing a lot of that capital? 1-800-449-8686. Maria, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Obliviate. Get rid of the garbage. We got up in the morning. We went to work. They killed our innocent people, our children. They left children without parents. Now we've got to tell the world that we're not going to take this.
I think the word you were looking for. I think the word you were looking for is obliterate, not obliviate.
That's it. Yeah. Now, you know, what do you want from an immigrant? I say get rid of the garbage.
Are you an immigrant?
I am an immigrant, and this is the best country in the world without all problems, with everything we do to ourselves.
Okay, that's a great point of view. Let's get rid of them. And you're in charge now. Where do you go?
Where do I go?
Where do you start?
Okay, we have enough information on who it was. They're dancing in the streets, thrilled that we're broken. We're not broken.
Where
we're
does the first missile?
Stronger than not.
Maria, where's the first missile land?
Hey, in the Middle East.
Well, where?
See ya. Wherever this jerk comes from.
Well, where is that?
I don't know. I'm not the FBI, so but our intelligent people know.
You'd start bombing his base. Let's say that.
You know what? While we're doing by biding time, but not already taking.
No, I understand what we're not doing.
Them on the ground.
I know what we're not doing. I want to find out. You want us to take action and obliterate them, correct?
Correct.
And I would like to do the same thing, but I wouldn't want to spin my wheels just launching missiles into an empty cave. You know, so you want to find out where he is and kill him where he is. Is that it?
You know what? I would love
or
to
just
get rid of him.
Any Middle Easterner you want to just start annihilating.
I would love to anybody who is hiding him, anybody who is assisting him, anybody that has anything to do with that garbage, because he's not a human being.
Let me ask you this: what if you found out that the nation of China, the government of China, was assisting him?
Huh? So get rid of them too.
Okay, so you want to go
I've
to
had
war?
It with turning the
I understand,
other
but I just want to be clear: you want to go to war with a nation of 1 billion people?
Hey, you know what? They declared war on us. We didn't declare war on them.
I understand that. I want to be clear. So you'd start launching missiles into Beijing?
Absolutely. Beijing, if that's where he's at, absolutely.
I'm not saying, by the way, folks, that that's the case. I'm just using that as an example. Beijing, by the way, the government of China has expressed its support of the United States, as has Russia. But I'm saying that you're saying no matter where the trail leads, you want to go ahead and take him out. All right, Maria, thank you.
Why not?
Well, I could give you some reasons. First of all, if it risks war with a superpower like ourselves that perhaps has nuclear weapons, we may want to find a different tack. I don't know. I believe the president is serious when he says those that harbor them. And maybe he just believes that it's little tiny countries. We'll be back. Phil Hendry.